Amen. You know, do you ever, and if you don't, you need to, do you ever really just stop and think about God's love? His love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. His love is greater than any of my failures or sins. His love is not based upon my performance. His love never fails. Just think on His love tomorrow, will you? Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, focus on the love of God. Because when we fully grasp and understand and embrace in the love of God, there's nothing and no one that can deter us from running this race the way that we should. Now, I want you to know, it's a fact that in this world you shall have tribulations. You're going to have tests. You're going to have trials. It's a fact. No getting out of here without them. And we're going to need to experience and walk in that love of God. You've heard me say many times, the biggest sin in the church is not the sin of adultery or prostitution or drunkenness or addictions. The biggest sin in the church, I'm talking about among Christians, is the sins of omission. The sins of knowing what God's Word tells us to do in certain situations and us just simply not doing it. For whatever reason, and we'll make a list of at least 1,000 reasons why that applies to everybody but me. And I want to talk about one of those tonight. That is one of the cornerstones of Christianity. Help me preach here for just a minute, will you? What are the cornerstones of the Christian faith? It's the love of God. That Jesus left deity, came to earth to become a man. He's God's Son. He's God in the flesh. Died a cruel death. Resurrected Himself from the grave. Conquered death, hell, and the grave. His forgiveness. Born of a virgin. Coming back to get His children. These are cornerstones. Foundational points. And there are others. But tonight I want to talk to you about forgiveness and unforgiveness. Let me read some verse first. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. I did the math on that today. That's 490 times. If you're figuring that per day, that's a little less than every 3 minutes. Somebody can no sooner get done offending you or hurting you or sinning against you than it's time to forgive them again. The fact is, it's not the number that's important here. The message Jesus was trying to instill was however many times it takes. However many times it takes. Verse 23. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that they had, and the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat and he said, Look, you sorry sucker. He said, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and he threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that he had done. Then his master, after he had called him, said unto him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity upon you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until they should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother of his transgressions or his trespasses. I'm not going to speak long. This passage pretty well preaches itself. But this is a call to reality to the people of Open Range. And even if you don't come here, but you're here tonight, this is a challenge to you. If there's unforgiveness in your heart tonight towards anyone about anything, whether you were right or wrong is not the issue. The Bible says simply this, forgive. We're quick to ask God for forgiveness, but we're slow to give forgiveness. That has got to stop. It's good to seek God's forgiveness. It's good to ask God's forgiveness. But if we're going to be like Him, and help me understand, what does Christian mean? It means like Christ. It's supposed to be one of our goals and intentions to become like Jesus. And if we're not changing to look more like Him, talk more like Him, act more like Him, then I got news for you. We're not healthy spiritually. If we are the same person in our spiritual walk with the Lord that we were 6 months ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, we are not spiritually healthy. And what happens, we then fall into the religious trap. We begin to do things and it becomes a ritual or a religious ceremony we go through the motions of. And that's why the Word of God said that in the last day there would be churches that had a form of godliness, but no power. God wants power to be available, and it is available, but He wants it to be loose in the house of God. That's why He calls His house the house of prayer. Doc Moore gave me a book that I'm reading this week. I started reading this week. I don't read many books. I read the Bible. That's not that there's anything wrong with books. I preach so often that I really don't have much time to read anything but the Bible. But I promised Doc I would read this book. And it's by Oswald Chambers. And it's called If You Will But Ask. And it's about prayer. Now, most of us have the line of thinking about prayer, and somewhat it's true that prayer helps prepare us for the work that we're going to be doing. It helps prepare the field where we're going to be walking. It does do those things. But one of the lines that just captivated me is that prayer does the work. It does enable us, empower us. It prepares the field that we're going to, but prayer does the work. That's why we have to understand the scripture that says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why the Word tells us to pull down strongholds. How do you do that? Through prayer, through the Word of God. Through calling on the Lord, through standing in faith, believing and watching God work. But we've got to get to a place to where we are doers of God's word and not hearers only. Now, I know it sounds like I'm chasing rabbits here, but I'm trying to go somewhere. If you'll just stay with me, He'll come back through in a minute. How many of you know when them rabbit dogs jump? If you'll just stand there, that old rabbit will make a big circle and He'll come back by here in just a minute. So prayer is communication with God. We know that. Communication is what? Two ways. Most oftentimes, our prayer life now consists of praying over our meals, praying when we're in trouble, praying when we need something. And we should pray for all in all of those situations. But prayer is just talking to God and listening to God. That should be an ongoing, everyday thing, whether we're checking cows, baling hay, sitting at the computer. Boy, I'm glad I don't have one of those jobs. In prayer, that communication with God will help us get sensitive to the voice of God. And the voice of God will deal with us about issues in our life that need to be dealt with. And one of them is unforgiveness. Word of God says that if we're at the altar praying and we remember that we have ought against someone or they against us, for us to leave our request at the altar and to go make that thing right. Not enough of that going on in the church. The Bible tells us if we don't do things the way God's Word tells us to do, for us to not think that we'll receive anything from God. I know this is not a pump-you-up, exciting message, but it's a message of truth that will change your life. You cannot be like Jesus and harbor unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will turn into anger and hate and bitterness, and it will become a stronghold in your life that will choke you like a cancer. Do not allow it to happen. Now, it takes effort, and it takes calling on God, running to Him, and it takes allowing God to heal you as you release someone. Let me just go ahead and jump ahead of myself a little bit. What is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? It's simply this: making a conscious, on purpose, intentional decision that I'm not going to hold that against that person anymore. Kind of like what Jesus does when He comes to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us with His blood. He no longer imputing our sins or holding His sins against us. He chooses to wash you and to forgive you. And it's like it never happened. Again, matters not if you're right. Matters not if you're wrong. What matters is, do you forgive? In fact, do you know the Word of God says that to be forgiven, you must forgive? Then how can the church, regardless of the denomination, how can the church, which is the people, walk around with unforgiveness in their heart and, oh, praise God, hallelujah. You know what that is? That's a picture of what the Bible describes, sweet and bitter water coming out of the same mouth, and this shouldn't be. Blessings and cursing. Don't do it. He's saying, get in. Get on. Be all in. Be a doer of the Word. Look at Stephen. One of the disciples, as he's being stoned to death, while he's dying, he cries out, don't hold this against them. Forgave them while he's being stoned. Jesus on the cross, dying, and a sinner, one that deserved to be crucified, one that deserved the death sentence that he had been given, that cried out to Jesus, Lord, remember me. And he forgives him on that cross. I'm not telling you that forgiveness will be easy. I'm not telling you that it's fun. I'm not telling you that it'll be something that you will want to do. But I'm telling you, it's the will of God. It's the way of God. It's the word of God. It's the purposes of God that will produce and generate in you something that will position you for the blessings of God. Everybody wants the blessings of God. Even sinners. And I was talking to Duke this morning in my office. The Lord gave me a message yesterday that I thought was for tonight, and he changed that this afternoon. And I wish he'd quit that. He's going to have to heal me of ulcers. But the message was out of Deuteronomy 28. It was about the blessings of God. More so about blessing blockers. Things that block the blessings of God from coming. And one of them is unforgiveness. And there's a whole list, and I'm not going to give it to you tonight. I'm going to preach it at some other point in time when God lets me. But he prayed on that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Unforgiveness will eat you alive like a cancer. Tonight I'm challenging you, straight from the Word of God, let it go. Release them. Don't be like this servant that we read about that got forgiveness, but then he went over and caught his buddy by the throat and going to try to choke payment out of him. Y'all saw the end of that, didn't you? Let me read that again. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's transgressions. You see, unforgiveness will position you for the things that you have in life that are blessings to become a curse. It will position you for failure. No matter how much you acquire, it'll never be enough. And after all, it's not the possessions that give you inner peace. It's the person of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Durwood Russ told me many years ago something I've never forgotten. He said, people spend their health trying to achieve wealth, and then they have to spend their wealth to try to get back their health. It's medically proven and documented that bitterness and anger and hatred and all of those strifes and things that go on in our life help produce blood pressure issues and health issues. It's a fact. You want to live a healthier life? Forgive. Don't carry that anger and bitterness and hate and resentment. I'm just going to be truthful. You can't do that and be in a right relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm not judging you, but I'm asking you to judge your own self and to grade your own papers. And would you bow your heads? I'm going to close. I'm done. That's it. That's God's word. You're in this house tonight. And you say, Dennis, you just don't know what they did to me. You're right. I don't know. But this much I do know. God's word says, forgive them. He'll deal with them. He'll take care of all of that. Now I'm going to ask you in this place tonight, if you've been carrying unforgiveness around and it's been eating you alive and you're ready to let it go, you're ready to give it to Jesus. You may have been right in the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you want some peace? Do you want to get out from under that weight, that load that you're carrying? Give it to Jesus. If you say, Dennis, that's me, and I want to give it to him tonight, could I see your hand, anyone, anywhere? Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. A lot of hands everywhere. How about in the balcony? Yes, all over the balcony. Slip it up, slip it right back down. Yes. That's a conscious decision that you're making right now. And you don't even have to wait on me to pray. You can begin to talk to God and you can begin to give it to Him right now. And you can release and forgive the other party right now. Give them to God. There are some of you here tonight that you'd say, Dennis, I've not experienced that forgiveness of my sins that you talked about a minute ago that Jesus wants to give. I've not received the gift of life, eternal life. Tonight I'd like to ask Him to forgive me of my sins, and I'd like to turn my life over to Him. If there's anyone here like that, could I see your hand? Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Very quickly. Anyone else? Slip it up, slip it right back down. Thank you, ma'am. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, Dennis, I once walked close with God and I've drifted away. I'm like that prodigal son or daughter. I'm living a way that I shouldn't, and tonight I'd like to recommit my life to Him. I'd like to get cleansed and start over, have a mulligan, do it again. Could I see your hand? Anyone? Anywhere? Anyone? Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Thank you, ma'am. All right, everybody look up here at me for just a moment. I will never, ever get tired of talking about God's forgiveness, God's love, His saving grace. I want you to understand, I'm not here to prey upon your emotions, neither is God. I haven't even preached that kind of message tonight. But I want you to know that what God's word says, said that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said that if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The prerequisite to being saved is we have to believe that Jesus is God's Son, that died on a cross in our place so that He could give us the gift of salvation, the gift of life. We have to believe that the grave couldn't hold Him. He didn't stay in there. 3 days later on Easter Sunday morning, He walks out of a grave alive, never to die again. The Word of God said, as we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. My prayers can't save you. You must ask, you must believe, and then only you can receive what God's ready to give you. So with that knowledge, would you pray with me? Those that raised your hand as well as everyone else. And God knows your heart. It's not how pretty you pray, it's how honest you pray. So let's pray. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need you. I do believe that you're God's Son that died for me. But you rose from the dead. And I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life and to save me and to change me. Help me, Lord, to learn your ways, to recognize your voice, to know how you want me to live, and fill me with your Spirit. Empower me with your Spirit. And I'll be sure to say thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, you saw many hands go up across this place tonight confessing unforgiveness. As they give that wound, that hurt, that offense to you, don't let them take it back. Take it fully away from them. And right now, Lord, fill the hurt with love. Fill the loneliness with your compassion. Fill the brokenness with your healing. Resurrect the wounded spirit. fill them, Lord, with your love. Now, Lord, I'll go further and I'll ask you to go all the way on the other end and deal with that other person. Lord, that may have wanted to make things right a long time ago, but because of pride or arrogance or stubbornness or stupidity, whatever the reason is, they wouldn't. But Lord, tonight let your Holy Spirit deal with them. And God, I pray that their life would be worth living, and that you would resurrect relationships, and that you would resurrect friendships for your glory. Move in a mighty way, Lord. We call on you, and your word said if we call on you, you'd show us great and mighty things. And Lord, we believe for the miraculous to happen. We ask you to do what only you can do. We don't want to be a people that has a form of godliness, but no power. We want the power of God, the peace of God, the presence of God, the Spirit of God that surpasses life, our understanding, to come and rule and reign in our lives and in our hearts and in our circumstances. Change us, Lord. All of us. Change us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.